The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's good, ladies. Thank you so much. You know, I appreciate Dr. Gray. For 22 years, I attended the pastor school until Brother Hiles went home to be with the Lord. There's another event I attended when the Soul Winning Clinic was up and going. I attended for 17 years the Soul Winning Clinic in Longview, Texas. And inside of those times, I found a friend that could communicate with me well and could be able to be someone I could pick up the phone and have done countless upon countless of times and called him up on the phone and said, hey, let me ask you a question. What would you do about this? How would you handle this? What direction do you think maybe I should consider in going in this area? And Dr. Gray, to me, has been a dear personal friend, and I appreciate him far beyond words. I could not think of a better man to be able to close out an extraordinarily good Baptist leadership conference than Dr. Gray. God has used him in a marvelous way, pastoring for 33 years, being a preacher for over 40 years. 29 of those years of pastoring the Longview Baptist Temple, and it was during those years that it grew from 159 people to over 2,000 people in weekly attendance. There was over 1 million people that walked the aisle receiving Christ as Savior, over 250,000 people that walked the aisle following the Lord in baptism. Then there was so many other things that God used him to do, over $9 million given to missions. He started the Texas Baptist College, Longview Baptist Academy, Independent Baptist World Missions, the National Teen Convention, the National Soul Winning Clinic for 29 years, the Baptist Magazine for 11 years, had over 30 bus routes that would go out picking up boys and girls and teenagers and men and women and bringing them to church. In most recent years, he travels as an evangelist and has been strengthening Independent Baptist churches all across our nation. What a wonderful need that is that he is fulfilling. But there's something else that he does. I don't know. I don't know of a man right now other than he. And, of course, Dr. Smith is putting out a lot of books. But Brother Gray is putting out so many good, good reading materials that is just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, if you go by the book table tonight, you'll see that he has books back there dealing with relationships. He has books back there dealing with finances. His books back there dealing with how to help hurting people, people that are lonely, church problems, just an extraordinarily wealth of information that is back there, both practical and doctrinal. And to be able to be around a man like this is worth more than that which is gold itself. And I appreciate him being with us tonight. Let's all stand and give him a big warm welcome, would you please?
Well, somebody say amen.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Have a seat. Sit down. Sit down. Get your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Psalm 37. Verse 24, that's Brother Hamlin. I've had 15 people say, Brother Hamlin told me you were going to buy me a new King James Bible. So I want everybody here to call him and say, where's my new King James Bible? Psalm 37, verse 24. He'll never do that to me again. Psalm 37, verse 24, please. Psalm 37, verse 24. And then I want you to turn to Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Two scriptures tonight. Psalm 37, verse 24. Psalm 37, verse 24. Then I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. I want to commend you for your soul winning, your faithfulness to the Word of God, and the work that you're doing here in this great Dallas area. If there is a need, it is a need for an Independent Baptist church over here to be on fire for God, and I want to commend you for your labors and for your work. I preached in the area Sunday morning and Sunday night, tried to get home, and couldn't get out of town because of the sleet, So Monday, I drove home. I had to get back for a meeting Monday night and then last night. And it took 6 hours to get from here to Longview. Then I got home and I blew my front left tire and my tie rod broke in my car. So they had to work on it all to get it ready to be able to get back here tonight. But I'm glad I was able to make it back and to be a part of this meeting. Of course, I love Dr. Shelton Smith, Dr. John Hamlin. He's a mess now. That's all is to it. You call him now. You obey me and call him tonight. And I hope he gets 1,000 phone calls tonight. And but anyway, I love your pastor. I love his zeal for souls. I've known him for many, many years. In fact, both of us got off the ark together. And and then what is this decade stuff you're praying up here? Decades. I know how now, Brother Howe said, I know how John Rice felt because I'd get up and say, sit up straight and listen now, because Dr. Rice will not be with us forever. And then Dr. Howe, I say, sit up and listen, Dr. Howe, he'll not be with us forever. And now I've been around for decades. But so sit up straight because this may be the last time you hear me. Psalm 37, verse 24. Let's stand and stretch just for a moment here. Psalm 37, verse 24. The Bible says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now turn to Proverbs 24 and verse 16. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Now that means for each fall there's a rise. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. There is no rising back up for the wicked. I want to speak to you this night, tonight on this subject. I have fallen and I can get back up. Have you seen that commercial? I've fallen, I can't get up. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about I have fallen and I can get back up. And I hope that you'll listen carefully. There's a whole army of people who are not here tonight. They're not here. They've fallen. I mean an army. And we ought to be cognizant of those who've fallen. Because it may be you tomorrow. And it may be myself. So I want to talk to you tonight about that. And I think it's a part of leadership. Our concern and deep concern for every Christian. So I hope that you'll get your pen out. I want you to write some things down. It's like that fat woman going underneath that barbed wire fence. A few more points and we'll be through. I don't know where that stuff comes from. But I want you to listen. Thank you for laughing. Thank you so much. God bless you. The only help I've got up here. But so I want you to listen carefully tonight. I believe there'll be some things that'll be. Father, help me tonight to help. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity of service. I thank you for this pastor who has led the way in training future leaders. And I thank you for those who've willingly given themselves, submitted themselves to his leadership. I thank you for the literally thousands of souls have been saved because of this great church. I thank you for the meeting that we've had. I pray that every sermon to have its place in our life. Every truth, one more brick in the wall of life. Help me tonight to add that which will be of encouragement and blessing. Please, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we will tend to forget those who have been shot in battle. I think sometimes we may not realize what has happened or to some degree we may be somewhat pharisaical about those who have fallen in battle. So I want to help us all tonight and help myself. Now, nobody preaches any harder against sin than I do. I scream, get some of those tapes back there, but you better get a new tape player or CD player because they're awfully rough. And nobody preaching harder against the sins that we somehow condone that shouldn't be condoned. And I preach hard against it. But I believe in being just as hard at helping those who have fallen.
Right.
Now, I want to give you, by way of introduction, four thoughts. Number one, some fall because of what they do. Some people who are not here tonight and some who are here tonight, maybe you've fallen, but you did it. You did it to yourself. There's nobody to blame but yourself. Those decisions that you made were bad decisions, but they were decisions that you made. You can't blame the preacher. You can't blame the church. You can't blame your family. You can't blame anybody but you. You made the decision. So some people fall because of what they do. Number two, some people fall because of what others do. In our church, I pastored young ladies whose husbands walked off and left them to be single moms to rear their children alone. They didn't ask for that. But it just so happens that that's their lot in life now. Well, I pastored husbands whose wives ran off and left them to rear their children alone. They didn't ask for that, but it happened. Some of you have lost jobs. You didn't ask for that to happen. Some of you had your pay cut back, or maybe different things have happened in your life, but you didn't ask for that illness. You didn't ask for that sickness. You didn't ask for that layoff. It's something that somebody else did, but it's harmed you, and it's caused you to fall. I said, number one, some fall because of what others do. I said, number two, some fall because of what they do. Number three, some falls are seen. There are some things that happen in a church that happens on Monday night, and everybody knows it by Tuesday morning. Some falls are seen. Some are maybe regional, where it makes the news and it makes the newspaper. Some are national, where everybody in the whole world knows it, especially this internet age. And if you're not careful, it must be true, it was on the internet. That's a wonderful axiom for life. That'll carry you a long ways. You just hope to God it doesn't happen to you. But I said, number one, some fall because of what they do. There's some things in your life, you did it, you got nobody to blame but yourself. Now, you may point fingers at somebody else, and you may want to blame somebody else, but truth is, you made the decision. Number two, some fall because of what others do. You didn't ask for it, it happened to you. As you do here, you run a bus ministry. Hundreds of children come, don't even know who their dad is. Come and don't even know if they'll be at the same house when they go home at night. We started a bus kids school, and those kids had come and have no way of paying tuition. We paid their tuition. They had no way of experiencing any type of love or at all if it's not for the church or not for the school that cares for them. Some fall because of what others do. Some falls are seen. Number four, most falls are unseen. Most falls are unseen. Everybody in this auditorium has fallen, but nobody knows about it. Preacher doesn't know about it. Dad doesn't know about it. Mom doesn't know about it. Nobody knows about it, but God knows about it. And I propose tonight and make a supposition here. I don't understand the difference between those that are seen and those that are unseen. If sin is sin, then please tell me what the difference is. And you be careful before you start throwing rocks at people whose sins are seen while yours are unseen. But if that isn't the height of hypocrisy, I don't know what is.
Amen.
That's why it's imperative for us to understand. We're nothing but a bunch of sinners here. You understand that?
Yes,
Bible says, for all have what?
Sin.
Does that include you?
Yes,
yeah, it does. Your horns are holding your halo up. I wish I had a video camera to follow you around all week long. We'd really have some good sermon material. The truth is, we're all sinners. And you better thank God that those sins are under the blood of Christ. They may not be off the internet, but they're under the blood.
Amen.
Number one, I said, some fall because of what they do. There's some stupid things you did in your life that caused your problems, and you got nobody to blame but yourself. Number two, some fall because of what others do. You didn't ask for it. It happened to you. Number three, some falls are seen. But number four, most falls are unseen. So I say this, all of us are guilty. Now, because we're all guilty, then maybe we need to understand the importance then of people who have fallen and getting them back up on their feet again.
Amen.
Maybe there's an army of people that maybe some of us have, well, you know, he's I don't think he's ever going to come back. Well, yeah, how do you know until you pick up the phone and call?
Amen.
Now, let me give you the sermon. Here we go. It's not bombastic, but I think a great truth that we need. Number one, according to the scriptures here, write this down, the just man does fall. The just man does fall. Now, that's what the Bible says. The just man does fall.
Oh, I don't think the guy's even saved.
Oh, really? Hello, God. How you doing? How's it looking from where you're at?
I don't think the guy's born again. He wouldn't have done what he'd done.
Well, hello. How are you doing? You wrote a Bible lately? The truth of the matter is the just man does fall. Now, if you think that perfection is a part of your life, you are sadly mistaken. Because all of us are imperfect. You know what the preacher is? An imperfect man preaching a perfect book to a bunch of imperfect people trying to perfect them. When you leave church, you ought to decide, I'm going to live a little bit better than what I've been living. Amen. And take the challenge, but it's not a challenge of perfection. It's a challenge of maturity, Amen. Of growing up and learning. But the just man does fall. Well, so-and-so, I don't think the guy saved or he wouldn't have committed adultery. Oh, you're talking about David in the Bible? Is that what you're talking about? Is that it? I don't think he would have killed anybody if he was saved. He's a just man. Well, let's see now. Most of the Bible is written by murderers. Now, you're going to have a tough time with that one. I'm not trying to justify sin at all. I'm trying to give us a perspective of leadership here to where we understand, don't ever give up on anybody. I did not get into this to run around kicking people while they were down. I got in this trying to pick them back up. Now, I'll tell you what's shocking to me. We'll win a total stranger to Christ, bring them in here, walk them down the aisle, baptize them, and treat them like they're A-plus heroes and don't know a thing about them. But you let somebody fall out and then get right with God and come back, and we happen to know something about them, it's almost like Ichabod. It's almost put an X on that guy, mark that guy, because we happen to have knowledge of something that he's done. Let me tell you something. You better be careful about your judgment of people because you're judging yourself while you're judging others. I said, number one, you talk to me now. The just man does what?
Fall.
Talk to me. The just man does what?
Fall.
I can't hear you. Just man does what?
Fall.
Don't holler at me. The just man does fall. He does. Now, the next time you fall and make a mistake, are you saying that you're not saved? Oh, about yourself. You just say, well, I just made a mistake. Well, why can't you say the same thing about the other guy? Don't say, well, I don't think she's saved or he's saved because they did such and such. Now, wait a minute. Now, we're not working our way to heaven, are we? The part of me that got saved was my soul, not my body. I was taking my wife had 38 surgeries. I was taking the hospital down in Tyler, and this woman cut me off. I'm driving, cut me off. I floored that car, pulled that thing around, got the power window, run the window down, got up close to her. Buddy, I was fixing to let her have it. And my wife said, be careful, it may be one of our church members. And then here's what she said, they think we're Christians. Now, I got a temper just like the next guy. I'm stubborn and bullheaded, and I don't know, I wouldn't give 2 cents for a man that wasn't bullheaded. You little wimp, I bet you were. Never mind. I was at a church one time, and a lady walked up and said, our pastor hollered at the secretary. I said, good. She probably needed it. Oh, you women aren't happy tonight, are you? The lady walked up to me and said, if I was married to you, I'd kill you. I said, if I was married to you, I'd be willing to die. The just man does fall. Do not equate the falling with salvation any more than you can equate salvation with living a good life.
Amen.
If one's not true, the other's not true, and you're going to have to be very careful about how you analyze somebody who falls into sin.
Amen.
Statement number two, the just man, according to our scripture tonight, falls many times. That's what the Bible says. Many times. Well, here he goes again, falling right by. Well, look at there. He did it again. And he did it again. And he did it again. And I'm sick and tired of helping him. Well, wait a minute now. This guy fell 7 times and got up every time. And God called him a just man. Just being that of being justified. Just as if we'd never sinned in the sight of God. Just means the scales are balanced. That's why there's a part of you that can't stand it when there's not justice. It bothers you. Haven't you ever seen a picture that's crooked and you had to straighten it up? It just bothered you, had to straighten it up? Well, that's a part of our makeup. A saved man wants things to be just. Well, that's why you fall and you say, I cannot stay down.
I've got to get back up. That's why when you backslide and get out of church, Holy Spirit of God works on you and says, what are you doing, knucklehead? Get back to church and get back to reading your Bible and get back to praying and get back to soul winning. The Holy Ghost of God works on the inside of you and tells you what you ought to do. Why? Because you're a just person. Justified. I said, number one, now talk to me now. The just man does what?
Falls.
Number two, the just man falls what? Many times. So here they come back again. And here's what you say. Well, look what the cat drug in. Maybe we ought to give you a visitor's card. Maybe we ought to slap you in the next Friday. What kind of talk is that? You ought to be, you know how much, listen to this statement here. Do you know how much courage it takes to come back?
Right. That's right.
Do you know how much courage it takes for somebody who has fallen out to show back up and walk in on Sunday morning? Scared to death that you idiots are going to make some stupid statement? Well, don't make it. Just shake their hand, hug their neck, and say, man, it's good to see you. How would you like to be treated? There ought to be something about us, and I say this because there's a great army out there that have fallen, that somebody, don't ever give up. If they're on your Sunday school roll and you haven't seen them in a year, don't ever give up on them. Go after them. Find out what it is that they need and meet that need. Don't ever say that's a hopeless case. It's not a hopeless case. I said, number one, the just man does what? Talk to me. Just man does what?
Falls.
Have you fallen? You have. Well, then maybe you ought to treat others like you'd want to be treated. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Is there anybody here that's fallen out of church and then finally came back after a period of time? Don't answer. Is that happened to you? Well, weren't you glad they took you back? Huh? Boy, we must have a lot of that. So I got it awful quiet in here. Number two, the just man falls many times. Number three, according to our scripture, the just man gets back up. According to the Bible, the just man does seven times, down one, up one, down two, up two, down three, up three, down four, up four. Do I have to keep going? Down five, up five, down six, up six, down seven, and up seven. That's what it says. Amen. Now, there are two things. Come here, lay down here. On your back. There you go. Get up, because you got to fall first. Here we go. This is the fun part, okay? All right. So, you didn't fall very gracefully, did you? He falls. All right, now let me give you two things the Bible says that we've got to do to get him back up. Two helpers. Number one, the Holy Ghost of God. He's called the Paraclete. He runs advocate. He goes alongside of you. He lives in you. And he wants to help you. Let me give you a second helper, and that's a Christian. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. All right, Brother Smell, if you'll stand up here. I'm going to be the part of the Holy Spirit. You be the Christian that cares. So we know, give me your hand, this hand. We know that the Holy Spirit will help, but what we need is for a Christian to also, according to the Bible. The Holy Spirit can speak and speak and speak, but it ought to take somebody in the flesh who will come along and say, I want to help you. That's why understanding the Holy Spirit is speaking to people right now. But we need somebody who's spiritual, who can say to them, we want you back. Thank you. Give him a hand. Did he do a good job? He does a good job of falling, doesn't he? I said, number one, the just man does what? I can't hear you. The just man does what? So don't say, I don't think that guy's saved. That's not wise, because the just man does fall. Number two, the just man falls many times. Are you sick of helping him? Are you tired of helping them? Sunday morning, a week ago, I had a cancellation. I was supposed to be in California, and I stayed home, and Bob asked me to teach a combined adult class, and my son, my pastor, something wrong with that. That is my pastor. I changed his diapers, and he's my pastor. I was in New Mexico and made that statement. He got up next and said, yes, and one day I will change his diaper. And he's a smart act like his mother.
But I was in between Sunday school and church and shaking hands, and a little old lady walked up and she said, you led me to Christ when I was 10 years of age. And she began to tell me, and I said, oh, I remember your parents, but I don't remember you. And she said, don't leave. And she went up the balcony and brought two of her kids down. And she said, I want you to meet my two kids now. And she said, I ride the same route in Tyler that I rode when you led me to Christ. I'm still faithful to church. Amen. And these are my kids, and they got saved last Sunday and baptized. Amen. Well, somebody shout amen. Amen. A lady in the deaf department. We have about 30 in our deaf department. She walked over and she started doing this, and I didn't understand. So the interpreter, Mrs. Smith, came over, and I said, what's she saying? She said, she's thanking you for leading her to Christ years ago. Well, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, that lady has been out of church, the deaf lady, been out of church for 10 years. But when she came back, she told me she felt just as welcome as the day that she left. It was something that she did. It wasn't that anybody did something to her. She chose something. Now, I say this to you because I'm telling you there's a whole army out there. Somebody ought to care about them. Amen. Well, if you were saved, you'd come to church. You know how dumb that is? You know, it's like you lead somebody to Christ. Well, if he's really saved, he'd come to church. They're babes in Christ. Okay, have a baby, bring it home, put it in a crib, and say, hey, kid, supper's at 6. If you're hungry, you'll come to the table. No, they're babies. You pick them up. You came around. You burp them, and you're moving along. Number one, the just man does what?
Fall.
Talk to me. Just man does what?
Fall.
Don't question a man's salvation because he falls. Number two, the just man falls many times. Don't get so tired of helping somebody. Well, I've helped him. 7 is the number in the Bible of completeness. And so it's not necessarily the exact number of 7, but it's perfection, it's maturity, it's completeness. It may take somebody a long time before they finally catch on, but thank God there ought to be the Holy Ghost of God is working in. But we need somebody in the flesh.
Amen.
Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Then number three, the just man gets what? Back up. Number four, the just man then develops a habit of getting back up. The just man develops a habit of getting back up. So he falls once, gets up. He falls a second time and he says, oh my goodness, I don't want to stay down here. So he gets back up. The third time he falls, he says, you know, this is crazy. I shouldn't be sucking on these cigarettes. I shouldn't be drinking this beer. This is crazy. So he gets back up again. He knows that he can get back up. Now that's the important thing. Do you know that tonight? Do you know tonight that you can get back up on your feet? If you quit reading your Bible, do you realize tonight you can start reading your Bible again?
Amen.
Do you realize tonight if you quit soul winning, you can start soul winning again? Now, don't look down on people who finally come back to Wednesday night Bible study or come back to soul winning. Like, where have you been? We have labored all these years, and now you're going to show up for a big day. Don't do that. Because if I understand the Bible correctly, the people that came into the vineyard last got paid the same as the people who went in the vineyard first. Choke on that one for a while. Suck on that cigarette for a while. I don't know where that came from either. Number one, the just man does what?
Falls.
Number two, just man falls. Number three, just man gets. Number four, the just man develops a habit of getting back up. Number five, the just man is perfected by both. Now don't miss this. The just man is perfected by both. The man who's saved is matured. According to that number 7, he's matured. He's perfected by what? By falling. And by what? By getting back up. He falls, makes a mistake, gets back up, and says, wow, I learned something that time. I may pull another stunt, but it won't be that one. He's matured by it. He's perfected by it. Listen, you young ladies ought to listen to old women. That don't sound right, does it? listen to aged women. You know, I don't understand a 12-year-old who runs around to a 13-year-old to talk about what they think about love. You think you're a year older and wear pantyhose, so they must be smart, you know. That's crazy. And I don't understand why you young ladies, you young ladies have a natural beauty. There's a natural beauty that you have, and I don't understand why you want to paint it up. My oldest daughter, Kimberly, came down the stairs when she turned 13 and had 14-foot eyelashes on.
I said, take it off, Tammy Faye. We don't need another Tammy Faye Jr. Take it off. Now, you old women, paint it up. Cover up the cracks, will you? Every old barn needs a coat of paint every once in a while. You young men ought to listen to the older men. These gray hairs, I've earned every one of these gray hairs, every one of them. I've been in the ministry for 42 years. That's four decades.
Decades.
I guess you were right. I was wrong. It just now dawned on me how old I am. I'm 68. I got 2 years left. That's all I got. Man, I ain't even got time to buy a car. Well, anyway. Oh, that was funny there. I said, number one, the just man does what?
Fall.
Number two, the just man falls. Oh, get tired of helping people. Number three, the just man gets back up. Needs two helpers, the Holy Ghost of God and then somebody who is what? Spiritual, according to the Bible. Number four, the just man develops a habit of getting back up. Hey, I can get back up. I can go back to church. I can serve God. Number five, the just man is what? Perfected by both. The falling and getting back up. If you're not smarter today than you were yesterday, you're from Kentucky. That's where you're from. Number six, the just man does not blame others. The just man does not blame others. You know, look, you're 45 years of age. You're going to have to quit using this thing. The dog ate your homework.
Yeah.
Somewhere in here, you're going to have to take responsibility for your life.
Amen.
You're so dumb if you think you can keep giving the teacher an apple when you go to that. That's going to help you pass. Learn the math.
Amen.
Pass the course.
Amen.
We're in this victim society. Everybody else's fault. No, it's your fault. We don't like it. But you know, that's why you need preaching. You need somebody to tell you what you will not tell yourself. We don't like it when people are honest with us, but we need it. Doctors, you go to the doctor. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said to me, time for a physical. Well, I said, okay. He said, now you have to get on a scale. And I said, you're nuts. I'm not getting on a scale. He laughed. He said, now, Dr. Gray, you're going to have to get on the scale. I said, not unless you got one for my left leg, one for my right leg. Not getting on the scale. So after a while, he said to me, he said, you ever thought about a low-fat diet? I said, no, all my fat's low.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, have you thought about plastic surgery? They'll charge you $180 to insult you. And you'll pay it. For some reason, I don't know what it is, but we don't like to take responsibility, but don't go through life blaming others.
Right.
Obama got up in Colorado and said, I lost the debate because of the height. We were so far above sea level. I couldn't think. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. And then they were so mean to me. That's the reason. A recession is when your neighbor loses a job. A depression is when you lose a job. A recovery is when Obama loses his job.
Yeah.
Putin, he takes over the Crimea and Ukraine, and Obama says, don't do that. I think Hillary may be more of a man than Obama, but I know Sarah Palin is. I know that. Number one, the just man does what?
Fall.
Number two, the just man falls. I'm tired of helping that family. Oh, really? Is that right? So you're tired, huh? Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't tired of helping you back up? You better be careful about that. Well, I don't think that guy's saved. Oh, really? Really? You know, a preacher gets up and says, he never gets up and says, we had five bodies saved today. It's always five what? Souls. Oh, so you can't see it, huh? Oh, but you're pretty good, aren't you? You're almost like God. You can see everything, can't you? Number one, the just man does what?
Fall.
Number two, just man falls many times. Number three, the just man gets back up. Number four, the just man develops a habit. Number five, the just man is perfected. Number six, the just man does not blame others. Number seven, the just man ends up on his feet. Down one, up one. Down two. You want me to practice it here? That must have been your wife saying, no. But Seven times down, seven times up, but the Bible leaves this man standing on his feet.
Amen. You sit here tonight, you say, preacher, you say the just, that doesn't sound right. We're broke. You mean we're supposed to be on our feet? Preacher, our health is so bad in our family, and you telling me that we're supposed to end up on our feet? We have a grandson, RG. He's 23 years of age, has the mind of a child. But he thinks the whole world's abnormal. He's the only normal. When Bob was voted in as pastor, RG started going around saying to people, you're fired. I was there one Wednesday night. Bob got up and said, how have you been fired by RG? Half the crowd raised their hand. You're fired. He was sitting on the front row. We have seven pastors. We have 10, six on the lower floor, 12, six in the balcony, and seven pastors across the front. RG was sitting down here, and he went to the assistant pastor. Psst, psst, psst. Assistant pastor leaned down. He said, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. So I asked the guy, I said, what were you thinking? He said, I was afraid he was going to say, you're fired. Listen, it is a heartache. It's a heartbreak when you go through things like that, and it doesn't seem right. And you say, well, how you say, your wife's had 38 surgeries. The last surgery she had, they put metal plates in both her feet and put screws in there because her toes were separating, and she couldn't stand and couldn't walk. Well, now she can stand, and now she can walk. She sleeps about 2 or 3 hours a night. She's got more metal in her than I got in my car. But the truth of the matter is, it's hard, it's difficult, and it's not easy. And you say, but you keep saying we land on our feet. I got news for you. You let that trumpet sound, you let that command, and the dead in Christ are brought up out of the grave, and we which are alive are changed in a twinkling of an eye. I promise you, we're going to end up on our feet. Don't you feel trapped by this old world and what the world's trying to do to you. You are a winner. I read the end of the book and we win. God won, devil nothing, another shutout. See? Would some of you go home and practice smiling? I know you left your teeth home, but gum it, baby. The Bible says a lot about countenance in the Bible. You really ought to learn to smile, you know. You know when a preacher tells his famous joke and nobody laughs, but the one visitor that came and he cackles out loud and everybody says he thought that was funny, he ought to live here. But the reason the preacher uses humor is to get you back. After 3 to 5 minutes, your mind's gone. Some of you have been gone for a long time tonight. You're sitting there saying, did we shut the stove off? Did we let the cat out? So a preacher tries to get you back. Listen, we always ought to be thankful that God wants to get us back. And when you see that army out here and you see ex-church members out here, what a field. Oh, are you ready for this one? I'll close with this. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angel. Somebody help me. Over one that repenteth. Show me where it says lost. Doesn't say that. Twice it says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Show me where it says he has to be lost. Somebody ought to take, you Sunday school teachers ought to take to task this thing of people who have not been coming. And you ought to win them over. You ought to take to task church members who have not been coming and win them over. Well, that's why we hired a preacher. Oh, I didn't know this was a Catholic church. Oh, I figured, I got his Parkside Catholic Church. That's what it is, huh? Well, the Catholics hire their priests, do their praying for them. You church members hire you a reverend, do your soul winning for you. That's crazy, and you know it's crazy. Do you know they'll listen to you quicker than they will him? Somebody sick in the hospital, if he doesn't show up, whoa. And you church members slay me. I'm not pastoring now, so I can say this. Who's going to fire me? You slay me. You go to the hospital, don't tell nobody, and then get mad. Yeah. Well, how come the preacher didn't come see me? You think he's got ESP, don't you? Yeah. He's got ESPN, but he doesn't have ESP. That's crazy. Do you know if somebody's in the hospital and they're sick and one of you church members go and you go visit them, they'll think they're dying for sure. Because it's so unusual. You have somebody that misses church tonight, you church members pick up the phone and call them. It's long distance. Say, we missed you tonight. Because for him to do it, it's almost like he's paid to do it, which is not true. It's almost in their mind it's that way. Do you know how I built, God allowed me to build from 13 on quote visitation? And I can show you the picture, Pastor, right here. This is a Thursday night soul winning crowd. That's not a Sunday school service. Do you know how it grew from 13 to 625 a week the last year I was there? I'll tell you why. Because I said to the people, the 13 that showed up, will you invite somebody? Yes. And I'm telling you, it worked. Amen. And I promise you, it'll work. I'll tell you what, if Jack Hiles were here, I believe we could do something. Jack Hiles couldn't do more with you than what your preacher's doing with you. Because it's in your hands. And I say tonight, there's a whole army out there. You know, I don't understand this. Okay, let's just put the rubber on the road. You ready? If Jack Scott walked in here tonight and sat down, Jack Scott walked in here tonight and sat down in the pew where you're at, how would you respond? Some of you are nothing but stinking hypocrites. That's all you are. You think that cock crows because of you. What if Dave Hiles walked in here tonight and sat down next to you? I don't want no whoremonger sitting next to my family. I wonder if anybody caught you late at night watching something on television you shouldn't have been watching. I'm going to tell you something. There needs to be some spirituality. Spiritual minds concerning a great army of people who have fallen. Win the lost? Absolutely. I give the gospel out 15 times a week and average 7 souls a week. I work hard at it. But I think that there's a whole host of people that we have forgotten and almost feel superior because your falling was unseen and theirs was seen. No difference. Not a difference in the world. Maybe we ought to get right with God tonight. You don't like it, do you? I'm going to come back here and slap about 3 of you. Maybe you ought to get right with God about your attitude about a whole host of army members that could really be used. Let's stand, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.